Thank you, Sheila. Well, we're continuing, if I can get this thing on, or onward. It's really cool wearing this, I have to say. It's like relaxing when you're getting up here to speak. It's relaxing because I got my tools with me as we go on this journey, our onward and upward journey. We're going to continue that. We're going through the Psalms or the Songs of Ascent based on Psalms 120 through 134. Today we're on Psalm 125. And we're going to keep pressing on in our journey on this road of discipleship and our apprenticeship with Jesus. I want to begin by asking you a question. How would you describe yourself when it comes to being a secure person or an insecure person? If you were to describe yourself, would you say, I'm a secure person. I kind of know who I am. And if so, where do you put your security? Who do you get security from? What do you get your security from? Or if you're insecure, if that's how you kind of you lean toward that, you know, why? How are you insecure? Or how are you secure? What makes you insecure? Who makes you insecure? So I want you to really think about yourself as we get going, because we're going to talk about security and being secure with God. Over the last month, I have worn a heart monitor. Thursday, I got the little text and this phone, the bat phone I called it, you have to have too, and it said, you are done. It's like, hallelujah. I ripped this thing off. Ow! Like waxing your chest. Ripped this thing off. It's like, yes. But I don't know if you've ever seen one. You get this very sticky stuff, and you put it on your chest right where your heart is, and you put this key fob looking thing that tracks every heartbeat and everything. It's kind of weird, okay? You kind of get paranoid. Is my heart beating? I don't feel it. What, you know, you don't know what's going on. But anyway, about 2 to 3 days into it, I get a phone call. And another 2 or 3 days, I get a phone call from a heart doctor. Next thing you know, they give me 2 medications. You need a blood thinner. You need this. And I'm telling you what. I was like, no, I don't. I mean, I pride myself on my health. I work on it. I do what I can do to control it. But all of a sudden, you know, this and that's going on. So I'm like, geez, it's like denial. Then I got a little angry. Sounds like the stages of grief, right? And then finally, after about 7 to 10 days, I said, okay, I accept this, like I had a choice, right? I accept it. And what happened to me at age 60 is I think I've kind of accepted, you know, I'll probably go backwards like I like to do, but for now, I think I've accepted my mortality. Did you know I'm going to die? I don't think I knew that. I mean, I knew that, but I didn't. It's like, but now I think I've accepted my mortality, which means a couple things. I'm going to do a lot of living. And then in my death, just like my mom, I hope to teach my family how to die well, okay? That's kind of my goal, isn't that? It's kind of sick, isn't it? I'm like morbid here today. But that's what I'm thinking. So anyway, for the next 2 or 3 weeks of wearing this heart monitor, I went from the physical part of it to being spiritual about it. It was like my reminder, how's my heart doing? My motives for doing what I do. I'm very notorious for the sin of omission. I know I'm supposed to talk to somebody wherever. Like I drove by Mindy's 15 times before I finally stopped yesterday to talk to him. Sin of omission. So I just used it as a spiritual check. And here's what came to mind, especially in preparation for this talk this morning, is that I've had to question where I place my security. A lot of it goes to my health. A lot of it goes to my financial well-being and things like that. Things that are just so temporary, right? Okay? So I've questioned where I place my trust and who I place my trust in, which is Psalm is perfect for that today. Psalm 125, we're going to read it together. And as all psalms, man, they go up and down. The psalmist, David, or whoever writes them, they're like, God is awesome. People are terrible. Get rid of the people. They just go through the emotions. That's why I love the psalms, because they're just like real. And this one's pretty real, but it's foundational. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord God are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. I'm going to read that again. Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, and they really do, so the Lord God surrounds his people both now and forever. Repeat, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. Next verse, verse 3, I believe, the wicked will not rule the land of the godly, but then the wicked will not rule the land of the godly, for then the godly might be tempted to do wrong. O Lord God, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you, but banish those who turn to crooked ways, O Lord. Take them away with those who do evil. May Israel have peace. Trust is such a strong foundation. Trust is like the beginning, you know? It's foundational. We know in relationships with one another, if trust is not there, what? Everything crumbles. There's no foundation. Trust is essential. Same with our relationship with God. Trust is foundational. As we read in verse 1, trust makes us secure as a mountain. Mountain's immovable, you know? Makes us as secure as Mount Zion. Trust assures us of God's presence in verse 2. He's all around. And when we trust him, we know he's all around us. He's everywhere for us. So I want to talk about three threats to our security, okay? Or if you want to look at it another way, three threats or maybe reasons for insecurity or uncertainty when it comes with us and God. There are more. This is just three that I'm going through. Let me begin to say why we're going to do this is because I read in that long obedience, same direction, where somebody said, described Israel's relationship with God, you know, the Old Testament, all through New Testament, really, that they have a sawtooth history with God. You know, a saw is like an up and down look. And this author said that, you know, they had the sawtooth history with God because you look at when they're in bondage with Egypt for like 400 years and they were crying out, they were making bricks out of straw, and they cry out to the Lord God, and he delivers them through Moses and miracles through the Red Sea and Exodus, right? And then sometime later, guess what they're doing? They're complaining. They want to go back to slavery and bondage because at least they'll get their Egyptian steak and potatoes, right? They complain. It's up and down. The disciples, on a Thursday night, they're having that Lord's Supper, that Last Supper with Jesus, praising and getting their feet washed, and just, I guess, I know it was surrounded by love. And then the next thing you know, within a few hours, they're denying they ever knew him. Is that not us? A lot of times, those who call us ourselves disciples, this up and down. We all have our own sawtooth history. So I want to cover like three threats to our security, our relationship. And the first one is feelings, right? Feelings are important. They're important in our relationship with God. But feelings tend to change like Kentucky weather. Is that rain we're hearing on the roof? Feelings change like the weather. We're moody people, you know. Doubt creeps in, depression, even excitement, right? All these feelings come to us, and we tend to rely on these feelings too much. And because they change, we just cannot rely just on feelings because they are a threat to our secure relationship with God. You know, if I'm to be honest, I don't always feel as secure as Mount Zion. I don't always feel as if God's surrounding me, you know, every day, every moment. Some days I'm solid like a mountain, and some days, not so much. Some hours, yeah. Some hours, not so much. But our onward and upward ascent, that calling to press on, during that, we must rely on what we know versus what we feel. And that brings us back to Scripture and discipleship, being a learner and someone who practices the way of Jesus. We've got to stand on the facts and the truth and what we know, because we're going to get all these feelings and then we're going to wander away from what's true and factual and right. So feelings is the first thing. And so we got to stand on what is true. And that includes our past experiences with God, okay? We've got to always remember what he's done. And when we do our storytelling and writing all that, it's great because you remember, because we sometimes forget what God has done to us, because we're kind of like on cruise control sometimes. And we forget all the bumps and the turns and how he's been with us. So scripture and past experiences are good to overcome our feelings. The second one is pain and suffering and evil. Pain and suffering and evil can destroy our security. It's like, as you look around, and I even said this yesterday, but as we look around, it's like, what's the use of even trying to live a godly life sometimes, you know? Because you look around, we're just surrounded by pain or suffering or just evil. It's just everywhere. 45-year-old man dies of COVID, that Jay Sharktongue, he trained me at Little Caesars back when I was like 30, 31 or 2, and switching careers, and he was a 16-year-old kid at the time. He literally trained me how to make pizzas and stuff. So we've known him. He's known with Luke, worked with him, and Tabby, so they're friends of the family. And he's gone. Pain, suffering. 7-year-old that we need to pray for, by the way, her name is Audrey, not our Audrey, another Audrey, has a mass, just found out. She went to Vandy, she's back home, they don't know what's going to happen. Why? Pain, suffering. Why does good things, I mean bad things, happen to good people? Why are some people more tormented than others? Why? So what happens is, for a lot of us, we start to ask questions, all this why questions, like, why does God allow this? Or worse yet, why does God cause these things? Some people believe like that. And then we end up saying, too many of us say, well, I just can't trust him anymore because of all this stuff that we're surrounded by. And so some of us place our trust and security in other things, not in God, but other things. The third thing, kind of a threat to our security or reasons for insecurity, is defection, or like, it's this fear that we may, as Christians, I'm talking to believers, this fear that we may defect or drift or depart from the faith. Falling away is possible. We can drift. We can fall away. I talked to this young man in his 20s. And 20s is hard. You know, if you're old like me, it's kind of hard to remember. But the 20s are a tough age. You're trying to figure life out. You may be starting a family. You may be getting married or maybe not. Or your careers. Everything's kind of in a jumble in your 20s. You're just trying to figure it out. And this guy's doing the same. But he grew up in church, saved, baptized. And we sit down for lunch, you know what his first sentence was? He knows who I am. I know him and his family. I don't believe in God anymore. Okay, let's have some pizza. Let's have lunch. For him, it's going back to these threats that I'm calling them, being insecure. It's like he talked about his doubts, okay? He used to battle with depression just a little bit. He's kind of through that, but he has a lot of doubts about God. And he brought up the old typical questions that I just talked about. Why is there so much suffering in this world? Why are children starving and all these questions, you know? Why is good God not taking care of these things? So for him, at this point in his life, you can pray for him, by the way, that he'll wake up in the middle of the night, God just speaking to him, whatever, that he'll come back to the faith. But for now, he's choosing to depart from the faith. Defect, that's what you want to call it. Scripturally speaking, we know of Judas. Made some bad choices, right? We know of a guy named Hymenaeus and another man named Alexander in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20. I'm not going to read it, but if you want to just remember that, look later. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 through 20. Paul says, they shipwrecked their faith. They crashed their faith. They wrecked it. They had it, and they wrecked their faith. We're going back to Psalms 125, verse 5. They're kind of talking about the Judases, the guy I talked about had lunch with, and this Hymenaeus and Alexander. This is kind of what this psalmist is saying when he says this in verse 5. He says, but banish those who turn to crooked ways, O Lord. Take them away with those who do evil, and may Israel have peace. Primarily because you're taking away all these ones on a crooked way and all the evil people. The Message Bible, instead of saying crooked ways, they use the term backsliders. Banish the backsliders, Lord. Have you ever heard that term? Yep. Especially if you're relatively old, yep. It's kind of primarily a religious term to describe what? People that turn back to their crooked ways. People that go back to the old way. They're doing good for a while, and all of a sudden, old Todd or whoever comes back up, raises their ugly head, and we call them backsliders. Backsliders. Now, for me, there's two forms of backsliding. The one that's visible, and the one that's not so visible. Okay? The first one is, just like I described, it's somebody that's to say, and through my 25 years of three different churches, I've seen, gosh, I'm not going to say hundreds, but probably 100 people that come through the church doors and they hear the good news. And they are on fire. It's new, it's refreshing, and they're encouraged, and they're living it, they're reading it, whatever. They're coming every Sunday, they get baptized maybe, or they recommit their life to Christ, and some time goes. It could be 2, 6 months, 2 years, 3 years, and all of a sudden they're gone. I don't know where they go. They're just gone. They're gone. Then the other type of backslider, the one is not so visible. Those of us who sit in the pews most weeks and on Sunday and around certain people, we are talking the talk and we are walking the walk. But we're sitting in the pews either being, I don't know, maybe life's overwhelming and we're not really trusting in the Lord, or we're sitting in the pews, we just don't really believe it, but we're not walking the walk. We're talking the talk, but we're not walking the walk, and maybe no one knows that, or maybe those who are closest to you know that. Backsliders on sabbatical. This past summer, I rented a cabin in North Georgia Mountains for like 3 or 4 days, and my pattern was from 8:39 in the morning to about 2. I just read and prayed and did that kind of thing. It's a wonderful time. And about 2 o'clock, I'd take a day trip. Okay? I'd spend 2 or 3 hours going around this little radius and doing different things. I went to a waterfall and this bridge over like the Ocoee River. It's pretty cool, except for I was by myself. It'd been nice to have other people with me. If you want to go, just let's sign up and let's go. But anyway, one particular day, I was going to this waterfall and got there. The first thing was, is a 3/4 mile drive up the side of this mountain. I went through 2 creeks in my car. So that felt pretty cool, I must admit. Of course, it's about that deep. But anyway, going through, I was a little scared. Got up to the mountain. It took 40 minutes to go 3/4 mile. That's how bad it was and narrow the road was. And then once I got up there, it was like a half mile hike, maybe not quite that far, to get there to see the waterfall. I could hear it the whole time, but I couldn't see it. But during this little part of the journey, this walking, this hiking, it would be steep, and it'd be down, it'd be level, and then sometimes the path was pretty wide, sometimes it got narrow, sometimes I had to duck a little bit under a tree, watch spider web, always look for snakes, right? Mm-hmm. And poison ivy. Watch out for the roots, make sure I don't trip or slip, rock or sandish dirt. There's always the threat of a misstep. There's always this threat of a misstep that could cause me to backslide, could cause me to stumble, cause me to slide, maybe even cause me to fall. You hear me? I could even fall. So on our ascent in discipleship, there's always that risk. There's always this chance, and sometimes I really think it's kind of easy even to backslide on our walk. Backsliding or returning to our crooked ways is just like this common obstacle in our path. It's common. Many people stumble and fall, but it's a common obstacle to our security with Him. Backpack. So what do we need on this journey to keep us from falling and stumbling? We got a lot of things over here, don't we? Well, today, we need a rope, okay? Like a mountain climber, you need a rope to keep you safe and secure. Now, I've never been mountain climbing like the ones you see in shows and such where they're on the side of a cliff, but you always have this lead climber, the one who knows what they're doing, the veteran, the experienced one. In our faith, that's Jesus, you know, right? But what he does, or she does, she's the one climbing first, and the rope is around them, and then the rope's around, of course they got fancy equipment, right? And the rope's around the other one, and around the other one. And it's their safety net, right? It keeps them from falling. If one person falls, the other two, there's three of them, the other two are got them, got their back. So this rope is a picture of trust. Picture of trust. We are to hold on to it whenever, whatever happens. We trust in the Lord God, and we are secure. So we've got trust. Not only do we hold on to him, but more importantly, guess who's holding on to you? That's the biggest promise, because we fail at our end of it, don't we? But he's always holding on to you. Always. Trust is so foundational. So we trust him with our doubts, our depression, our crazy mind, suffering, and pain, and evil that's happening. We trust him no matter what. We trust him in all those things. We cannot place our trust in performance. Start with that, because that's such a key thing. We can't trust, put our trust in our abilities, our performance at home, in our relationships, at work. We can't place our trust in that. I talked to a lady about a month or so ago who, the previous 2 or 3 months before that, had been going through heck at her job. Lots of changes. She, in talking to her, basically says, I put my value, my identity on how well I can do my job. And at home too, but not just at work, but how well she performs. And I thought about it just yesterday when I was thinking about her. She, for those 2 or 3 months of all this pain that she was going through, it's terrible. I mean, she would drive extra miles around her neighborhood and not even go home because she's crying and she doesn't want to show her family all this stuff. So it's like she was wearing a heart monitor herself for like these 3 or 4 months, because all this pain and suffering she was going through drove her to realize that she was putting her trust in how well she performs, how good she is at her job, and how good she is at her home. And she told me right flat out, she said, I made my job, this career that I poured my life into, my God, it's been my idol, she said. I failed to put my trust in him. You can't put your trust in being good or your morals. Okay, you can't put your trust in your health or your money. You can, but I don't want you to. God doesn't want to. You can't put your trust in a pastor or a spouse, right? Will a spouse let you down? You need to trust them, but you can't put your full trust. I don't know if that sounds right or not. You've got to trust them. You've got to give them your full trust. But I don't know how to say it. You need to trust them, but you got to trust God ultimately. Because your spouse, your best friend, your relationship is going to let you down. Your boss, whoever it is that you trust, they're going to let you down. And you never know when. This other lady I talked to, married 28, 30 years, couple kids, goes to church every Sunday. But I just met her, actually, and she said, I'm divorced. My husband cheated on me. Okay, I'm Todd, glad to meet you. That's big, you know. My husband cheated. And then she went on to say, we're friends now. I've been through counseling. He's been through counseling. He's doing better. But I will never, ever trust him again. Never. Foundation is broke. Here's the truth. If we place our trust, our full trust in anything or anyone but God, we're going to be let down, aren't we? If we place our full trust in anyone or anything other than God, we're not going to be secure in life. You're going to be like me and thinking about death. Are you going to be struggling with everything, with doubts and fear and suffering and pain? You're not going to realize that God works all things out for those who love Him. Just trust. Trust will get you through all fear. Yeah, we're going to lose it for a while, right? But holding on to Him, Him holding on to us, the rope, we're going to get through. If we place our trust, full trust in anything or anyone other than Him, we're just not going to be secure, nor will we be at peace. Peace will be like that butterfly that you're trying to catch. You're never going to catch it. But it may land on you if you're trusting in God. I got that from Oz. He sent me a picture of the butterfly landing on his hand. All right. Two scriptures that I hope, both of them are pretty well known, but if not, if you don't know it, I hope you kind of memorize it. At least get pretty close to memorizing it today. You meditate on it, you chew on it, you write it where? In your heart and mind. The first one's an Old Testament one. Many of you know it. And for me, this is like great wisdom for life right here on earth, okay? Is it on there yet? All right, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, which means know Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let's say that first section there where it ends in understanding. Let's read it together. Let's read it kind of fast, okay? That's not going to wait on each other. Let's just read it pretty fast. Are you ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. One more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So important. So important. With that conversation, that young man I had, I mean, I admitted to him, I don't understand all the ways of God. I cannot understand God. I got the Bible, but I got like, He can't be contained in one small book, you know? God is so much more. I can't understand His ways. Like Isaiah said, His ways are so much more. His thoughts are so much more, higher. I don't know why all these things happen. I know that God can provide purpose through all the death and loss, that He can work for the good. I know those things, but I don't know all the whys, and I probably never will. So, I trust Him. Do you trust Him? When I tend to lean on my own understanding, I got to stop and just recognize God for who He is, that He knows. And maybe someday I will, maybe not. But we must lean not on our own understanding, and then all our ways that we're talking about. We've just got to acknowledge Him, know Him. And guess what? The paths become straight. They become straight. And then the second verse is the New Testament. Jesus, on the night of His death, with His friends, His disciples, He tells them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me." John 14, 1. This is the trust we get for eternal life. You know, don't let your heart be troubled, Mr. Heart Monitor guy, okay? Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust, Jesus says, trust in My Father God and trust also in Me. And then He goes on to say, you know what? Maybe you remember it. In My Father's house are many, many, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back to get you, because I want you to be where I am. Of course, what does Thomas say? Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. He says, Thomas, church, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life that leads to the Father. So, if we trust in the Lord and lean on His understanding, acknowledge Him in our everyday living, and if we simply trust in God, trust in Jesus with our eternity, as far as after death, that there's more, then you know what? We're going to live with a sense of certainty and security. Perfectly? Never. We're imperfect people. So, close with this. Down front, I got some rope, if you want a piece of rope, representing this trust, that reminder of trusting God. All you have to do is cut off a piece, and I recommend taping the end, or it's going to unravel. But as I did that, as a little reminder, you can tie it around your waist, you can stick it in your pocket. If you're just needing a little more trust, and you want a little visual, a physical reminder, take it. Just come down the front row. Cut your piece, put it in your pocket as a reminder of your trust, as a symbol of your trust in Him. When I did this, though, the three strands remind me of a verse. Anybody know Ecclesiastes? You hear it at weddings. It says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken, not easily broken. You put these little strands by themselves, you can rip it. You can probably tear it apart. You put three together, oh, it's hard, if not impossible, to break. So, these three strands for you, you can do a metaphor picture in your own brain. It could represent you and your trust in God or Jesus being together. It could be God, the scriptures, and trust, whatever, however He speaks to you. But this is a symbol of your trust, a reminder of your trust. Let's pray. Father, I pray to You, the God of our security, to Jesus, the Lord of our lives, our Master, our Savior. Father, I pray to You, the One who surrounds His people. You're always around. You go before, beside, behind us. We are Your people. We are Your people. So I pray for each one here, each one that knows You. May we just be reminded of this truth. May we become secure, certain, through our trust in You. God, You love us. You loved us first. We are Your child. You'll never let go. You always hold on. So, Father, I just pray that You increase our trust in You. No matter what storm, what life has to offer, God, we know ultimately You have control. Ultimately, You want the best for us. Ultimately, You will work all things out for those who are called on Your onward and upward purpose and for those who love You. So increase our faith, our trust, increase our love for You. Pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Let's stand and worship, or you can sit and worship. If you want this reminder, come up front.